This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It was anything but a typical Memorial Day Sunday. Anything but typical this Memorial Day weekend. The first holiday weekend since the pandemic was declared and shut down a good portion of what we do and what we enjoy. The processes, the economy, everything, you know, the fallout and the impacts of coronavirus in our nation and in many other nations around the world. I've just been reading and seeing some of the impacts now in the Southern Hemisphere as they head into their winter season. So south of the equator, their seasons are opposite from ours. And there's, I think, a proposed travel ban from Brazil. And so now you've got other parts of the globe that are dealing with the pandemic the way that we have over the last couple of months. So our Memorial Day, anything but typical for really any of us in any walk of life. But that does include the sports world. It's usually a really big sports day because of its unofficial start to summer. Memorial Day weekend usually serves as a platform for the NBA and the NHL postseasons deep into their run. So we're talking typically conference finals, if not already the start of the Stanley Cup final. You had no ballparks jammed with fans, and many of them featuring tributes to fallen heroes that are honored on Memorial Day. No Indy 500 on Sunday for the first time since 1946. So right post-World War II is the first time since then that the Indy 500 hasn't run on this holiday weekend. But we did have a couple of sporting events back to back. And I know from many of you, your tweets, your Facebook posts, they were good. They were good for you. You enjoyed them. You laughed along with Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. And you laughed at Tom Brady for splitting his pants. And then in addition, there was nearly $20 million raised for COVID-19 relief funds, which is amazing. And then the Coca-Cola 600. NASCAR, its third cup race and its big event at Charlotte, a marquee event. It's considered one of the majors, according to Brad Keselowski. But it's one of those races that every driver wants to win. You want to have it on your resume. And he had tried and tried and had fallen short until Sunday night. And it was, in fact, after midnight local time in Charlotte because of an hour plus rain delay. They didn't get back to racing until, it was well after 8 o'clock Charlotte time. So after 5 o'clock on the West Coast. And the race itself was the longest in NASCAR history, 607 miles. But Keselowski, whose car is draped with the stars and stripes and who always grabs a flag from his crew chief before he does donuts or does a victory lap following a win, who was honoring a fallen hero with his name on the windshield of his car and then mentioned him in his post-race interview. It was appropriate. NASCAR does a phenomenal job of honoring our military, both active as well as those who were lost serving in battle or lost and paying the ultimate price for our freedoms to keep us safe. And so I applaud NASCAR always for its tributes to the military and for those who serve and who have served. And it was really neat to see Brad Keselowski and his car there in victory lane. even without fans, and it's still eerie to try to get used to. Now, on the golf course, it was actually really helpful to have no galleries and no cheering because we could hear almost every exchange between, you know, Phil and Tom as lefties try to coach Phil on the greens. I'm sorry, lefties trying to coach Brady on the greens, and he's doing it so analytically, so extensively. I mean, sometimes him reading greens and instructing Brady and then giving him tips when they were going alternate shot. I mean, he was long-winded, to say the least. But I enjoyed hearing his coaching style, and Brady didn't seem to mind. I think others would see it as more abrasive. I don't need all your help. But Brady soaked it all in and did what he was told and tried his best. And then you had Tiger, who was much more understated and really, even though he's joking around and he was enjoying the atmosphere, he didn't give Peyton Manning nearly as many tips. Peyton would ask for the yardage and maybe a break, and then they would just go at it. But one of the cool things about the match was the pimped out golf carts. They were awesome. In fact, they were up for auction, and Chipper Jones at one point was asking on Twitter how much for Tiger's golf cart. They were souped up and tricked out. There we go. Golf carts. And they also featured mounted cameras. And so you were kind of riding along with Tiger as he was cruising around his home course, because this is the course where he is a member. Same thing with Justin Thomas, the other pro golfer who actually served as an on-course analyst. That was kind of fun because they were going back and forth and telling stories. And so I thought it was a really neat atmosphere. And with fans, even though I love to get fans back to sporting events as quickly as possible, with fans, we wouldn't have been able to hear everything that we did because there was major interference from the torrential downpours. I mean, the back nine, you could barely see the golfers through the cameras at some point. I give them all the credit in the world for staying out there on the course and not even taking a break. I mean, there was a brief delay at the beginning, but they were already out on the driving range and on the practice greens. And it didn't matter how much it poured. They just kept on trucking. So I was really impressed with them, and I enjoyed being able to hear the exchanges among the four of them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We would love to hear from you as you honor and remember family members who served and who paid and made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of the United States of America. For those of you who have photos that you'd like to share, we're taking those too, and it means a lot to me when you send them on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And if you reply to our show post after our CBS, well, then producer Chris is retweeting those as well. And then on Facebook, so many of you not only post your own names and your own stories about loved ones who served, but also you send photos too, sometimes of gravestones, which is sobering, and other times they're photos of your loved ones as they were serving, so in uniform, and some of them are black and white photos, which is really amazing, going back to World War II. So thanks again for sharing those with us on Twitter and also on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and I'd encourage the rest of you to go through and look at those threads and read what other people are writing and sending. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So the day of sports could have, and I don't know how many of you sat and watched every single hour, but the day of sports with the doubleheader between golf and racing could have kept you in front of the TV on your couch from, roughly 12:30 Pacific time. So right at lunchtime until 9 p.m. So if you watch pre-golf festivities, and then you watch the post-race NASCAR interviews, I mean, you could easily have gotten 9 hours out of sports. And so it's fun to see many of you reveling in the fact that we had live competition. And on TNT, TBS, as well as Fox, they were doing the same thing. really being excited and almost acting as fans to say, yay, we have live competition back, something that we've really been looking forward to. And it was really funny to hear Phil Mickelson indicate that he was nervous before the match started. And then afterwards, we were hearing the four guys that were holding the giant check for $20 million. We were hearing them kind of talk about how they felt and what it was like to go through this day. And Peyton says, well, if Phil was nervous, can you imagine how Tom and I felt getting out there with a national TV audience and playing really in an arena that is unfamiliar to us? Though these guys have participated in pro-ams, they do tee off in front of galleries of thousands. And it's not as though this is foreign to them, but just not their comfort zone, to be sure. But Phil, he was already talking smack even before they got out to the driving range.
I'm out here getting ready to play the match with partnering Tom Brady against Tiger Woods' Peyton Manning. And we are going to be hitting some bombs today and hellacious seeds. What's the difference? What's the difference between a bomb and a hellacious seed? Well, a bomb is high and nasty. A hellacious seed is a screaming, low, hot runner. And into the wind, I'm going to need to hit some of those. Now, Tiger likes to hit stingers, and those are cute. Hellacious seed is going by a stinger so fast, like you can't even wave. Like if you were to put your hand out the window, like it would blow your hand back so fast it would hurt. Like you can't even say goodbye as you pass a stinger. Hellacious seeds are so hot and long. Now, today's formula for victory is going to be C squared equals B plus HS equals I and V. What does that mean? Well, C squared is coffee, not just any coffee with sugar and crap. No. It's coffee for wellness with good stuff that gets your body to function right, your brain to function right.
Coffee
you
for
couple
wellness.
That with calves, and you have exponential performance. That equals B plus HS, which is bombs and hellacious seeds, which equals I and V, intimidation and victory. And that is how Tom Brady and I are going to come home with yet again another belt from the match. Let's go.
He was a hoot. I mean, he wasn't funny as Peyton, and then Tom Brady will drop the quips in every now and then. But man, when Phil hit a big shot, when Tom Brady holed out from the fairway on the 7th, 150 yards out, it was Phil who was whooping and hollering and going all kinds of crazy and talking smack. And even though Tiger and Peyton built a three-hole lead, they were three up as they made the turn. Phil and Brady were able to close that gap and actually pulled within one hole, and we're talking a little bit more smack on the back nine. So the alternate shot was really interesting, and Brady got better. He was really terrible on the front nine until he holed out that shot. Peyton was a little steadier. It was kind of funny to see them both lose golf balls. And meanwhile, Tiger was, he was dead on with his driver. His driver was really working. And you know, that's the story of Tiger Woods, really. One big chapter of the Tiger Woods legacy is the driver. Is it on? If he's locked in, generally he kills it. And he did that on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There were some really funny moments, some exchanges. I think the ones I enjoyed the most were Tom and Peyton kind of going at each other. Initially, there was an exchange on the driving range. And this was, again, driving rain on the driving range. And one of the on-course reporters, Justin Thomas was one, but Amanda Balonis was another one. And she was asking them who their dream caddies would be. And so they get to Peyton and he says something about Eli Manning. And then he goes from Eli Manning to Nick Foles. And when he does that, Tom Brady turns around and laughs and like, man, that's a cheap shot. And then Peyton proceeds to talk about how he really thinks it's Bill Belichick who could get under the skin of Tom Brady more than any other. So that was kind of funny. And then as they're out there on the course, a couple of times Peyton misses some shorter putts, some putts that he was mad about missing. And the line from Brady a couple of different times was Eli would have made that. Oh, Eli definitely would have made that. So it was cool to see the two of them going back and forth. And as always, Peyton is a guy who is both self-deprecating as well as trash talker. And the mic in front of Peyton Manning is, it's brilliant. He never fails to deliver. He's hysterical. So that is always my favorite. But really, the dynamic of him and Brady going back and forth, there was one particular exchange which was hysterical, where Peyton is on the tee box and Brady's, you know, trying to get into his head a little bit and just kind of teasing him. And Peyton has thrown down his head cover, which is in honor of the Tennessee Volunteers. And so Brady, while Peyton's attempting to get ready and focus on his tee shot, picks up the Volunteers head cover and just kind of starts teasing Peyton.
It's not on your driver, is it?
Huh? I mean, who else is it on? It's not on Bill's.
Oh.
That's not the Arizona State mask.
No.
Don't.
I missed that tee. Hold on. Let me step on that real quick. Let me step on that.
Let me put any Michigan.
They haven't been good since you left. Can you help recruit them a little
bit?
Recruit some quarterbacks or something?
Barkley and Thomas are in trouble.
So this is really epitomizes the exchanges that they went through all day long. Now, they were also complimentary of one another. So when the other one did something well, you would have Tom Brady say to him, "Pay dirt. That was a great putt, pay dirt." I've never heard him call that before, but it was fitting. It was kind of fun. So Brady was calling Peyton Manning pay dirt when he would do something well. And I think the two of them were kind of bonding even further over the fact that they were not the best, right, that were out there on the course. I mean, they were kind of getting carried by their partners, though they each did win a couple holes on their own. But the bond between the two of them, it's certainly built on respect for what the other has accomplished, but they also seem to have a lot of fun together in the rare occasions when we see them both in the same place. And this wasn't taped. This was live. And so we kind of got it in the moment, which was really funny. They went back and forth a bunch, and then Lefty and his whooping and hollering, and Tiger, who just kind of enjoyed zipping around his home course. And he played the best of all the four of them. He played the best. And they told stories. They trash talked with Charles Barkley. So this was a moment that I hope that you'll look up on social media, because I know it's out there, the exchange on TNT and TBS, where Charles Barkley is going hard at Brady, because Brady's first 6-7 holes were just bad. They were bad. He could not hit the fairway. He was in the rough. He was, you know, dropping shots. It was just a mess. And so he gets to the seventh, and Charles is just killing him. He's ripping him and like, "Man, I want a piece of you. I want Brady. I can golf better than this." And at that very moment, I mean, Brady hasn't said a whole lot up to that point, but at that moment, Brady hits the shot of the match, and he holes out his approach from about 150 yards. It was incredible. Takes a wicked spin and then bounces into the cup. Mickelson goes crazy, like screaming and yelling. Brady can't really see it from where he is, but he figures out that the ball has gone in, and he goes right back at Charles Barkley. "Suck it, Chuck. You can suck on that, Chuck." "Shut your mouth, Chuck." It's so good to have the Charles Barkley element as well. It's kind of fun. So I'd love to know what you thought of it, if you watched some of it or all of it. I watched it all. I'm glad that I did. I laughed. I didn't laugh a whole lot this weekend. It was a bit of a tough weekend, as I've told you about. But I did definitely laugh during the course of the match, too. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let me know what you thought. Also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And coming up, a portion of my conversation with NFL insider Pete Prisco, who joined us earlier in the show. And if you missed it last week, Aaron Donald, he had some strong words about playing football games without fans, and how he just thinks it would ruin the game, essentially, that it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be anywhere close. The intensity would be so far down. And that's been echoed by a lot of you fans. So I asked Pete Prisco about playing without fans and about some of the other logistics now with bringing the NFL back.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, and of course, a star with the Los Angeles Rams. And he has a similar sentiment to what we heard from LeBron James going way back before the NBA suspended its season. LeBron couldn't imagine playing without fans either. In fact, he said, I've never played without fans and I won't play without fans. But a lot of athletes have changed their tune. And while Donald is trying to contemplate and chew over the idea of having quiet stadiums, it is a possibility. I don't know if it's realistic. I don't know where we'll be come mid-September, but it certainly is a possibility that stadiums will either be empty or will not have anywhere close to full capacity. And that would include the brand new stadium for the Rams and the Chargers that is set to open in Englewood, California. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Who do you honor and remember on this Memorial Day? You can find us on Twitter or Facebook, and we're pleased to share those memories and also to retweet or to look at your photos and appreciate them. Earlier in the show, we spoke with CBS Sports NFL reporter Pete Prisco, and we had a wide-ranging conversation about a variety of the issues facing the league right now. But I asked him about this concept. I wanted to know what he could compare with a potentially empty stadium in the NFL.
Yeah, and it'll be weird. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. Amy, it's a TV game. And nobody wants to admit that anymore because of the pomp and circumstance of going to the stadium and tailgating and everything else. But let's be real. It's become a TV game. And so would you rather risk having fans and maybe losing out later in the season or don't have them for a month and play on through TV? I think the majority of people would say, let's play on. They can still play fantasy. Bettors can still bet on the game. And you can still see all the games. So I do think that if that's an option, they'll play on without fans.
What, in your opinion, should be the stop sign, if there is one? If we get to the point where maybe football starts and early on it's no fans, whatever, limited capacity, but should there be a stop sign in there somewhere where if some particular thing happens that the NFL has to shut it down? I mean, can you imagine a scenario like that?
Yeah. I mean, if an outbreak happened to the point where young people were starting to die, and I'm not, pointing out that it's tragic no matter who dies, but the majority of people who have died so far are the elderly, and many of them in a nursing home. So,
right.
But if it got to the point where young people were dying and it was impacting things that way, then I think the NFL would have to step back and say, hey, wait a second here. This is not a good situation. We got to be better, and maybe it's not right to be playing.
We've heard from Adam Silver of the NBA and even with Major League Baseball that if there is a positive test, they have to be okay with the idea that they're not going to shut everything down, kind of like the association did when Rudy Gobert got hurt. When you're talking about the NFL, these guys are all, blood, sweat, all over each other. I mean, it's a real legit contact sport, which is different than, say, Major League Baseball. Can you imagine the players being used to that idea, though? I mean, is that something that they would have to adjust to? That, hey, if there's positive tests, we still have to play on.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to use the flu as an example. If two players on a team have a flu and they go out and play and tackle somebody else, they're going to give the guy on the opposition probably the flu. And yeah, this is impacted much worse than a lot of flu, some people will say. Some people will argue that it hasn't. Because it's not impacting the children as much as a flu would in terms of death. So I don't think it's going to be as crazy as we're portraying it in some situations. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general.
Right.
You know, there's a fear out there as much as anything. Everybody's fearful. We don't know. Nobody knows. That's the fear. And so I think that's going to impact things moving forward. Everybody's saying now, well, tests are going, there's a spike here and a spike there. Well, the more testing you do, the more numbers you're going to get. I mean, we, for the majority of people out there, a lot of us could have been walking around, asymptomatic and be testing positive for it. We don't know. We never knew. So that's where I get caught up in all this stuff. I just want, A, like everybody else, I'd love to see it go away. I'd love to see the economy come back. I'd love to see people working again. And I'd love to see people, not dying because of it. So if we can get to that, that would be the best thing of all.
And I think you make such a valid point, which is a lot of times as humans, at least for me, I can deal so much better with the known, even if it is scary. But if I know what I'm dealing with, I can prepare for it. It's different when we don't have any answers to any of our questions.
Well, not only that, they kept pushing it and pushing it. Okay, it's going to be 2 weeks. And people said, okay, I'll shut down for 2 weeks. Then it got to 4 weeks, and we'll shut down for 4 weeks. And then it kept pushing and pushing, and in some areas of this country, it wasn't even a factor. And they shut down, and people lost their jobs. Look, I understand there were people losing their lives. It is a bad situation, but sometimes you got to counterbalance that with what's going on in terms of people losing their jobs, too. And I think it's a tough balance, and I think for the most part, I'd like to believe we're behind the worst of it, and let's move forward.
Pete Prisco with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. How equipped is the NFL to handle a season where there might not be the same revenue?
Oh, I think they can handle it. You know, as long as the TV dollars are coming in, I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, you don't want to have to go give back money when it relates to TV. You want to be able to play. And you'll lose revenue from the tickets. But this is more about, you'll still generate money from a bunch of other revenue streams. You're going to lose the in-house stadium stuff probably as there's no fans, but they'll be okay. You know, look, this league knows how to make money. They've done it for a long time. People criticize them for moving forward with free agency. It was really well done, and it was a breath of fresh air at a time when I think fans needed it. They got criticized for having the draft, and I thought it was one of the best drafts that they've ever had, and it was a good thing for the country. So everybody can rip the NFL all they want, but all they do is keep doing a lot of things the right way. And I think both of those situations taught us that they can move forward in a tough situation and still be able to do it.
All right, Pete, before I let you go, I recently asked my listeners if they're in a situation where they're still kind of staying at home and not a lot of businesses have reopened yet. We all miss something, right? So I miss my favorite Thai food restaurant. What do you miss? What's something that when you have the opportunity, you're making a beeline to go do?
Well, since I live in Broward County, Florida, it's one of two counties in the state that hasn't opened the beaches yet. And I ride my bike by there every day. And it torments me. I can't wait to be able to sit on a beach, read a book, jump in the water, snorkel around, and relax. I can't wait for that. That's what I'm missing the most.
Oh, that sounds blissful. All right, you can follow Pete on Twitter at PriscoCBS, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. You'll always catch him on CBS Sports HQ, and we're always excited when we have a chance to have him on the show. Pete, thanks so much. Really good to talk to you.
All right, Amy, take care.
Pete Prisco earlier on the show here on CBS Sports Radio, and we talk about kind of this atypical Memorial Day weekend, and for many people it signifies the start of summer, the unofficial start of summer, and he wants to go to the beach, and I know a lot of people around the country are wishing they could do some of their normal activities. Well, we had sports, but it wasn't quite the normal Memorial Day weekend. There was no NBA, NHL postseason, no baseball parks that were full of fans, and there were no fans at the Coca-Cola 600 or on the golf course in Florida, which I actually appreciated. We got to hear more of Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Tom Brady. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish is joining us live on this Memorial Day Monday. Andrew, what did you think of the golf match?
I thought it was entertaining. It did at times, you know, feel long. It was a multiple hour event, and there were times where everything was not entertaining. The rain was annoying. But I think all things considered, from like a production value, it went as well as they could have expected in those conditions.
I wondered if they had started the NASCAR race, which ultimately went 607 miles, and the golf match at the same time, which one would have finished first? Because you're right. It took forever. And I thought it was really entertaining, but I also went out and walked the dog and put it on pause and then came back to it. I mean, it took, what, 5 hours for them to get through those 18 holes?
Yeah, and they were trying. I mean, it was theoretically, technically a staggered start, and they wanted to get the golf as done as possible before NASCAR started.
Right.
I don't know what would have won out there, but I'm happy people are doing something these days, and the fact that they raised $20 million is just nuts.
Right, it's phenomenal. It's good. Well, it's good to have you on board with us this morning. Why are you working on the holiday? I thought you were above that. Aren't you like too cool for that?
I thought I was too, but in retrospect, I made a bad decision.
Wait, why? You're with us. It's not that bad of a decision.
No, I mean, no one needs to hear my work complaints, but it would just be nicer for me to be asleep right now. I'll just say that.
When you're doing your updates early in the morning, is your family still able to continue sleeping?
So far, so good. I mean, and this is what I think we're starting maybe, is this week 9 or week 10 of this? I mean, it's crazy. No, I think I'm far enough away, and like the kids have like noise machines in their room to keep them asleep as long as possible. I think for the most part, it's okay.
Well, it's interesting because coming up, I just am going to be moving into a new place and my family is coming to spend a week later in June. And I've already spoken to the boss, like, hey, boss, I don't know how this is going to work because the house is not big enough for me to do a show overnight while they're trying to sleep. And I don't think it'd be fair to them. So I'm either going to take the week off or they're going to have to let me in the studio to do a few shows, maybe a trial run later in June. We'll see if anything's open then. But yeah, I think it would be difficult for me if I was whispering the entire time to keep everyone sleeping.
It's helpful that I talk in 2-minute bursts, so it's not an overwhelming, consistent amount of noise.
Well, I am overwhelming and consistently noisy, so that would not work for me. Andrew, good to have you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is the unmistakable voice of one Peyton Manning, who was a hoot for a good portion of the match, mic'd up as part of this charity event, high profile, featuring four names that really transcend their respective sports of football and golf. And it was really cool to see Peyton and Tom Brady out of their elements. And there were moments, many of them, where the mics had to be muted because of Brady's language, actually. So it was more him than it was anybody else. He did have a couple of shining moments when he was able to clap back at Charles Barkley and tell him to suck on that, Chuck. I might be paraphrasing one or two words, but that was the gist. Specifically after he holed out from about 150 yards on the 7th fairway. It was a pretty amazing moment for Tom Brady. He had a couple of big putts as well. So did Peyton. The alternate shot on the back nine was really interesting, the strategy that went into it. But the major difference in Tiger and Peyton winning is Tiger's driver was locked in. I mean, he was able to hit pretty much every fairway. And then Peyton was really good on the par threes as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had the whole thing, the whole thing airing on TNT, and even Tom Brady splitting his pants. That was also something that was live on TV. If you haven't seen his tweet, producer Chris retweeted it from our show account, After Hours CBS. So I hope that you enjoyed it. Many of you are writing to me and telling me that you really did. Even if you didn't watch the entire thing, you enjoyed the back and forth. Some of you are saying it should be like this in golf all the time, which, okay. I do agree with you that the eavesdropping element to it was pretty cool, and those tricked out golf carts that had the cameras mounted on them, that was awesome. The ability for the announcers to talk to the golfers, not as much as they wanted. Honestly, the rain made it really difficult to hear, and some of the technology was malfunctioning. And so you couldn't always get the communication between the announcers and the golfers, but for some reason, they never had any trouble hearing Charles Barkley. I swear they ignored some of the other guys, but they never had any trouble responding to Charles. And because their mics were hot most of the time, I think the golfers could turn off their earpieces when they were on the tee box or on the green, but they really didn't. It seemed like whenever Charles would say something stupid, and he does that, you know, that you would see Tiger Woods with a smirk on his face or a slight smile. Now, Tiger's made a living out of not reacting and out of keeping his poker face. But there was one time where Charles said something pretty funny and Tiger had to back off from his tee shot. And unless it was a bird or a gnat that was flying near him, I'm pretty sure that's what caused him to back off. So yeah, you had all kinds of cool elements to it. It's certainly not something that can be done every weekend, but the $20 million raised for COVID-19 was amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Because of the hour plus rain delay in Charlotte for NASCAR, it was really kind of interesting, the timing. I'm sure it wasn't planned. But as the golf match was wrapping up and they were doing their quick post-match interview, and the golf went really long, the NASCAR drivers were getting back onto the track after, you know, the trucks had tried to dry or had dried as much of the track as possible, and they were kind of waiting to get back out there. And so the race restarted about the time the golf ended. And there were a couple of really poignant moments at the midway point of the Coca-Cola 600, which is always run on the Sunday before Memorial Day. Usually it's the second half of the doubleheader with the Indy 500, but at the halfway point, they pulled all the cars down on pit road, and they all shut off their engines, and they did a moment of silence to remember and honor those who paid the ultimate price to serve and protect our freedoms as a nation. And that was really the focal point. It always is for NASCAR. They do such an amazing job honoring and remembering our military, our veterans, as well as those who didn't come home. And so that was really emotional. They all sit on pit road in a long line, and they turn off their engines, and they have a moment of silence. Brad Keselowski ended up taking the checkered flag, and it was in overtime, quote unquote. So there was a wreck, a caution flag with about two laps to go. And the timing couldn't have been worse for Chase Elliott, who, you know, last week got wrecked by Kyle Busch when he had a real good shot to win at Darlington. So on this occasion, Chase Elliott is leading. He's got a comfortable lead. He probably could have cruised all the way to the checkered flag. And his teammate has a tire go down, which then causes his car to spin. And Elliott says over his microphone, his spotter, is this a joke? I mean, he couldn't believe that his teammate was the one who caused the caution. So then his crew chief, Alan Gustafson, makes the decision to bring his car onto pit road to get four fresh tires. And he knew, just like everybody else knew, that whatever the leader did, Chase Elliott did, the others were not going to do. So if he came into the pits, well, the others wanted to stay out on the track and take over the lead and hope that they could finish on their older tires. And because it was just two more laps, even though Chase Elliott was able to pull all the way up to third, so those fresh tires did make a big difference, but he never did get all the way back to the lead. If he'd had maybe two more laps, he probably would have taken over the lead again. His car was that good. Instead, it's Brad Keselowski, and Brad holds off Jimmy Johnson, who's winless streak is now 102 races, but for Keselowski, it was perfect because he has a car that is painted in red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes, and on the windshield of his car is the name Sergeant Reed, and he was honoring the late U.S. Air Force member, Sergeant Michael Donovan Reed, and each driver had the name of a soldier or a sailor over the top of their car. So it was really emotional for Brad. And he did say that it kind of sucked that he finally won the Coca-Cola 600 and there were no fans there to celebrate with, because he was looking forward to that celebration. But he said, you know, that it was more about Memorial Day and what they were doing there and who they were honoring. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you sending us the names and photos of those in your family or friends who served and who lost their lives in combat or in the course of their service. Bird on Twitter, A-Law Radio, my uncle Calvin Dixon, who served in the U.S. Army in the Korean War. So many of you sending photos on Facebook as well. Calvin says, my father died on May 25th, 14 years ago. He was in the Navy during World War II. Darnell on Facebook. I will honor my Uncle Willie, who served in the Army from 68 to 72. Mark says Lance Corporal David Baker. My buddy was killed in Afghanistan in 2009, 2 weeks before his 22nd birthday. I think of him every day. Michael on Facebook, my old neighbor, Sergeant Kevin Sheehan, who was killed in Iraq in 2004. We had kids 2 months apart whom graduated together last year. We talked about sports all the time. Avid Seahawks fan he was from Vermont, and I miss him every day when I drive by his old home. Courtney says, my grandfather, 25-year chief in the Navy, airplane mechanic during World War II, every man and woman that gave their lives for my freedom. Thank you so much for sharing your photos as well as your memories, those who you honor on this Memorial Day Monday. We're glad that you were along with us, and those photos and those memories mean so much to me, so thank you for sharing them, and thank you for all your kind words on social media over the weekend. I appreciate them so much as well. We're back with you on this Monday night. Enjoy your day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.